Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The NBA, like any large operation, gets a lot of things right, gets a lot of things wrong. But to me, there's no single bigger concentration of things the NBA gets wrong that are also easily fixable than around the All-Star game, All-Star weekend, everything that entails. So today we're going to fix All-Star. I'm really glad to be joined by Michael Lee of the Washington Post. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, let's just jump into it. What is your top idea for how to fix All-Star?
You know, I'm older. I'll say I'm old school.
There you go.
My top suggestion, and I know that it will never happen because the NBA has, you know, done so much tinkering that this won't ever happen again. But honestly, I just want to go back to 2001. I want to go back to East versus West. I want to go back to having something that fans can actually relate to, I mean casual fans. I think that when you have Team Durant versus Team LeBron, or Team Curry versus Team LeBron, or Team Giannis versus LeBron, or whatever, you sort of narrow the reach of the fans because you place the All-Stars under the name of a certain player who most people are familiar with, yes, because these are international superstars. But also people are understanding the concept of East versus West. And I think that when you have the conference rivalry, you know, kind of going at it the same way like baseball has done it in the past, and just All-Star, the whole conference thing, I think you strengthen what the differences are within these conferences and these things. And you sort of diminish, you know, the value of them by limiting your All-Star game to whoever gets the most votes, which I don't think is a fair way to separate these teams. I never really liked that concept, and I know it makes for good TV, especially this year when we had the draft on the same night that James Harden got traded. And that was an excellent television moment, so I'm not complaining about that. But I do like just competition and just pride and guys who just really want to prove that I'm the man and you need to recognize it. And I go back to that 2001 All-Star game because I obviously was when Allen Iverson, you know, was the MVP of the game, and he wound up being MVP of the league that year. And he and Stephon Marbury just staged that great, excellent comeback. He had Kobe Bryant on the other side, who just didn't want to give up the game. And you just had these up-and-coming stars who were just like basically saying the league is ours and we're taking it. And I don't know if we'll ever be able to get that feeling back. Because over time, over the last 20 years, the game has just kind of gotten sloppy, and players have sort of taken on being named an All-Star as a burden, where they rather have that time to their families and their friends than to actually entertain any further. But my first suggestion, which I know isn't going to go very far, is just go back to East-West. Just go back to having guys, you know, battling for their conference, where you automatically have something to prove. Like if you're an Eastern Conference team and for years the Western Conference has been, you know, dominating championships or whatever and winning the Larry O'Brien trophy, and you want to say, hey, we're here, what better way to do that than representing your conference in the All-Star game and just saying, okay, we got some talent on this side. But if you're going into a game saying, yo, Team Durant, man, we got it. Like, who cares about Team Durant? Like, you know, there's nothing that bonds these players or connects them, you know, when they're in this new All-Star setting. So my first suggestion, and just to go back to the way it was, and I know that sounds very crotchety and, you know, get off my lawn-ish. But that to me, I felt was an unnecessary change. So I'll let you go from there.
So I initially did not like the idea of this draft. I was with you. I liked East versus West. And for the game itself, I still like East versus West also. But I've enjoyed the draft. I found the draft entertaining. I'm not sure how much the draft has to do with getting... Yeah. And so I care more about that additional TV event that's enjoyable than the East versus West game itself. Okay. So I'm willing to do that trade-off. But I hear where you're coming from. I like the draft. I'll tell you one way I do want to go back to 2001. I loved it when players wore their own team's jerseys. When it wasn't these are terrible all-star jerseys in so many years. Occasionally there's a good one, but usually not. And it looks so cool when you have one team wearing their home jerseys, the other team wearing their road jerseys. And home road, we've lost that distinction, right? If we're going to sound crotchety. Can we also go back in the regular season to where you wear white at home, except for like once in a blue moon special occasion, and you wear a color on the road and split up all-star like that within the teams? But here's my twist. I'm trying to go a little bit more toward realism of something the NBA might do because they don't do that because they want to sell all-star jerseys. So here's my twist. For all-star players, a custom jersey where it's like their home – their main team's jersey, but there's like some star piping, some subtle differences to make it an all-star jersey, and that'd be special. I think that'd be cool, but the overall aesthetic when you're watching the game will still look like guys are wearing their own team's jerseys.
Well, I can kind of feel you on that, but I also think that you know how this year for the 75th anniversary, Nike sort of did these jerseys where they just did a sort of composite of, like, you know, the different eras of a franchise, like, you know, like the Miami Heat did this kind of crazy ransom note jersey thing where they just sort of put all the eras of the Heat, you know, the Wizards did something where they, you know, combined different eras. The Nuggets did the same. And so you had a lot of kind of like a convergence of that. And I feel like if the game is going to be in Cleveland, then make the All-Star jersey sort of embody something that's sort of like Cleveland, you know, maybe combine, you know, the jerseys of the 1997, you know, Cleveland Cavs, which I thought were trash, but they're much better than whatever we have right now. But if you use a concept of saying, okay, we're going to use that Cavs design of, you know, for All-Star from 1997, and then, you know, have, say, now you got Team Durant, say, have Team Durant or Team LeBron, since he played in Cleveland, Team LeBron's team will play in, say, an homage to the 1997 Cavs, you know, just something like that. And then you have, you know, Team Durant will be an homage to another, like, Cavs jersey from another era. And so I think that, you know, if you just sort of combine design ideas and do something like that, but actually have it connect with the city in some way, I think that's the way to go about doing these all-star jerseys. Because every year you're in a different place and you have an opportunity to be creative with it. But if you just have some generic, you know, bland, you know, red jersey with all-star on it, it doesn't really make it distinctive. You know, the 90s were very experimental. And I always go back to like when San Antonio had it and you had those crazy
Fiesta.
Yeah, the Fiesta one, and then you had the one in Phoenix with the crazy, like, pepper or whatever you had. I'm combining ones, but it you knew exactly where the game was played just because you saw the uniform, you know? And I think that's what the league needs to go for, what Nike needs to go for, and just sort of reconnect with the home base. Because we know years in advance where these games are going to be. It's not like last year where they kind of threw an all-star game together in Atlanta. I mean, we know years down the road where these games are going to be. So just start, you know, have Nike say, okay, we are going to, you know, pay homage to, you know, I don't know, Milwaukee, you know, and have a green and purple, you know, uniform and a green and red or green or the current colors and just or green and blue and just do that. And you sort of, you know, make something that connects with the community, you know, to where, you know, Yeah, it's All-Star Weekend, but this is a time for us to recognize the greatness of the whole city. And I think you can do that with the uniforms too. So I'm with you on that. Switch up from these awful generic uniforms. But I think it's easy to do that if you know it's going to be East-West. It's impossible to do that when you know when you got Team Durant or Team LeBron and you don't know who's going to be the All-Star winner. If you go to East-West, you eliminate that. And you already have you can come up with some pretty cool designs with a lot of advanced prep work.
The irony was they do this some years, and you've talked to me that this is my second choice where you're kind of honoring the host city. I'd still rather it be the team jerseys, a stylized, all-star stylized version of the team jerseys. But you got me on the second choice. The irony was last year they did it for Indianapolis. Those were kind of like some racing elements, and it was blue and yellow.
And then it was like, oh, wait, we're not going to have the game.
Right.
So let's just throw these uniforms together that have nothing to do with Atlanta, right?
Right. And so, yeah, you could do that. Every year, that would be good. I don't know if you have any idea.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Ideas for the All-Star draft itself, if you're just so against it, if you're just ideas, eliminate it. That's cool. I get it. I do have one idea for the All-Star draft to make it better. We saw last year, Kevin Durant as a captain was hurt, and it really kind of ruined the whole All-Star game because he's starting off picking at disadvantage. Team LeBron has LeBron and the first pick. Team Durant just ends up with the last two starters, and Durant drafted poorly last year. I think he drafted a little better this year, so maybe the All-Star game will still be good. But his team is at such a disadvantage with him not playing that the draft just kind of breaks the whole system. So here's my idea, and yeah, the jerseys make it a little complicated. But let's, number one, no matter if you're following this idea exactly or not, let's move the draft to a day that isn't the trade deadline. NBA fans and are so over, and it turned out good this year with the Harden thing, but I think that would have been entertaining the next day. You do the draft on the Friday, you do the draft the next Tuesday, whenever. You do it a few days later. There's still animosity between Durant, Harden. You still have that dynamic. It was fresh, and that added something to it. You can't shoot for the once in a blue moon thing. I just think it's too much on one day.
I thought it was perfect this year, and
it was good this year.
I'm against the draft and the whole team popular vote getter. I just think that it sort of eliminates the chance because this is your big showcase. This is your chance to introduce a lot of these players to people who may not watch basketball until now, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just an opportunity if you go East West to just say, okay, this is how it's set up. You know, you have a mid-season or late season, you know, showcase, you know, do it that way. But I think the setup on the trade deadline, it couldn't have been more perfect than it was today.
Yeah, this is not the year for me to make the case, I know. Yeah. Because I think almost every year it's just like, oh my goodness, we are still trying to process the trade deadline. We're enjoying following all the trades. And now you're throwing this at us too. It's just, it's overwhelming. Yeah. And you could spread out the number of days the NBA is the center of attention. But if we are going to keep the draft, my proposal is let players shoot for captains. And the order you do that, you can do a free throw, you can do a three-pointer, whatever you want to do. But the order they shoot is in the order of voting. So LeBron, because he was the leading overall vote-getter, he gets the first crack at the shot. He makes it. He's a captain. Durant's not playing, so he's not in. I don't know who's third. Probably Giannis. Giannis, whoever was third, would get the third shot. And then that's a – yeah, maybe a seven. And so then you get – the captains that way, and it's only players who are participating in the game, and then you'd have to have reversible jerseys. And I don't know if the practicality of NBA quality reversible jerseys, I'm guessing they could do it. I would think they could do it. I'd hope they could do it. Fans could buy the reversible jerseys in advance. And then afterward, if you want to sell a nicer one, once you know what team a guy ended up on, you can make an even nicer design jersey and sell an additional jersey. Yeah, I didn't convince you.
I think you're putting a lot on the people who have to make these jerseys. I think there goes a lot. There's a lot more that goes into the design than we even think about. And so that would be tough. That'd be tough to pull off.
Well, they're making like 4 new jerseys per team per year. So I do have a lot of confidence in their ability to come up with new stuff.
I just mean it with the design.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying they're designing 4 new ones per year. I mean, every team has new jerseys all the time, and they keep coming up with new
stuff.
That's
true. They do wear too many jerseys these days.
And remember, in my proposal, it's based on the team jersey. So you do this, it's going to last over years. When a guy goes back to all-star games, unless their team completely redesigns how they look.
You're right, and I think what you do is you just stick an all-star patch on there, and that's pretty easy to stitch.
So I'd go even one step further than an all-star patch. Like I said, I'd like some type of like star piping or just something subtle within the design that says this is a slightly different jersey beyond just a patch. But yeah, a patch would be good too. I wouldn't hate that. All right, so I want to tweak the draft. You want to get rid of the draft. Here's another one I'd like. Expand the rosters. It shouldn't just be 12. Active rosters have been 13 for years. Now they're even 15. You can go up to 15. I won't complain. And I don't think this is diluting the honor because there have never been more teams in the NBA. There are 30 teams now, and there are just 12 roster spots. There are 12 roster spots when there were way fewer teams in the NBA. So it's gotten out of whack what it means to be an All-Star. It's such a higher honor now than it used to be. If you went to 13 and even 15, it's in line with how players were honored historically.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that I don't necessarily want them to make the change because I do think that there is a level of exclusivity in being one of the top 24 players. It's even more exclusive. Well, not more exclusive, but I mean, if you have your all NBA team is 15 guys, right? And then you have, but to be among that 24, I think it's really special. So I think the more you start expanding it, then you start getting guys on there who kind of they may be borderline and they may not be as deserving. When you get 12, there's nobody who makes it who shouldn't make it. You know what I mean? Like I know people are down on Andrew Wiggins and say he doesn't deserve it, but he does. he does deserve it. He got voted in there because the fans wanted to see him. He deserves it. I mean that's the thing about these whole All-Star games is that people lose sight of what it is. All NBA is to honor you for, all your successes in the season. Mm-hmm. All-Star is like, who do the people want to see on the court? But you also have the other measurements from fans, from players and from media to balance it all out. But inevitably, the fans are the ones that are going to watch the game. And if that's what they want to see, then he's deserving, And you can knock it and say, oh, there's no way that people are voting for this guy. But, he's winning, he's contributing to a winner, and he's doing what his responsibilities are. So you can knock it all you want, but I say he's deserving because he has been essential to a winning program that at the time was like, second best record in the NBA. So if you are playing on that team and you're contributing and people say that you can't be a contributor to a winning team, you've earned it, in my book.
Okay, here's my case against the fans wanting Wiggins. If you just look at, of course LeBron and Jokic were locks to get those Western front court starter spots. So you got one spot up for grabs. So we just narrow it down to players who got a media vote at that position, which I think is basically any plausible player in the discussion. 70% of the fan votes went to somebody other than Wiggins, right? Just because he got a plurality of the votes, there are way more fans who didn't pick him, who weren't looking forward to seeing him. I don't think he's that caliber of a player. I would have put Anthony Davis in, injuries and all, because I agree with you, right? All NBA is about assessing the season you had. All-Star is how good you are. Anthony Davis is better than Andrew Wiggins, and Davis missing that time to start the year isn't enough to dissuade me.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's a lot of great players who don't make it, but if you're not on the court, then...
Well, I think Anthony Davis played enough where I'm still... let me put it this way. This is not the only way to look at it. But, okay, you know the injury Anthony Davis had. Nothing is changing that. If you could go back to the beginning of the season and say, for this season, who would you rather have on your team, Anthony Davis or Andrew Wiggins? Who would you pick?
There's no day I would take Wiggins over Anthony Davis.
Right, you take Davis with the injury. You'd say, yeah, I'm willing to miss these several weeks. I'd still rather have Davis than Wiggins.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's my standard. Now, look, if it's close enough where you say, well, look, it, Wiggins isn't quite as good, but with all that time missed, I'd rather have Wiggins. Okay, but nobody's saying that.
I'm going to give Wiggins his props because I think that he's had multiple 20-point seasons, and the big criticism for him was that he can't win. Now he's scaling back scoring a little bit wise, and he's winning. So I don't know what we want guys to do. I don't know what we're asking of them.
Just be better players than Anthony Davis. That's my standard for him. That's it. You're better than Anthony Davis, you can get in.
Well, I'll just say this. He has his totals in points and rebounds exceed Anthony Davis this year. So yeah, I mean, I've seen situations, you know, where like one of the greatest All-Star moments ever was Magic Johnson, you know, playing in Orlando. Despite not playing a single game, being an All-Star starter, that was what the fans wanted to see. He put on a show. It was a special moment. And it was one of my favorite moments as a Magic Johnson, huge Magic Johnson fan growing up. So I'm grateful that he had the opportunity to do that. Me personally, being somebody who's like loves chaos, part of me was hoping the Nets wouldn't let Kyrie play and that the fans would vote for him, you know? Like, because it would have been great if like the only game that Kyrie played this year was the All-Star game in Cleveland. but alas, we didn't get that. So
it could have been Kyrie's second spite start. There was the year he was due up potentially for a Supermax contract in Cleveland. It came down to whether he was going to be voted an All-Star starter. And I don't know how fans of the other Eastern Conference teams didn't really vote hard for Kyrie just to get that extra payroll on Cleveland's books, make things tougher for the Cavs. So Kyrie didn't get that money. Those fans didn't get it done. We really need to get better at these spite starts. And I'm going to overlook that you compared Andrew Wiggins to Magic Johnson with a straight face. Oh, no, Magic Johnson, no. An all-time great, getting that moment.
I'm not comparing them in any way. No. I'm not comparing them.
I'm okay with an all-time great getting a fan-voted spot in the All-Star game. Andrew Wiggins, and I guess, so this leads into another issue I have, and I'm not sure how I feel about this or not, but it was a weird situation where Rudy Gobert dominated the media vote. Because it's by rank, ranked third in the media vote. He got too many votes. If some of those Rudy Gobert voters had voted for somebody else and bumped Wiggins down, if like 10 of the Gobert's 65 voters, 5 voted for some random player and 5 voted for a different random player, that would have bumped Wiggins out because they just go by rank and not by like how strongly a group feels. I don't know a great solution other than making the formula way more complicated, which is not great. Yeah. But it's not great that Rudy Gobert wasn't a starter because too many media members voted for him versus somebody else. Like, if fewer voted for him, he would have started.
I mean, could have started. But I also look at it this way, too. This was a very fluky year in the, mm-hmm. in the West. You know, a lot of really good players who would have been voted in were injured. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, like you said, Anthony Davis. I mean, so a lot of these guys were hurt. And so I think that's what impacted the votes more than anything. But also, I'm of the belief that I would love to see, we talk about changes for the All-Star game, I would love to see the NBA go back to giving us the center position.
Oh, I'm going to go the exact opposite.
Nah, I'm all for the way we draw it up on the sheet. You know, if we're going to change it in the All-Star game, change it in the regular season. Don't have the 5 positions there if you're not going to recognize them in the All-Star game. So, you know, if every time you do your scorecard, or you do your list of the starters, you put a guy at center, small forward, power forward, shooting guard, point guard. It's always like that. And sometimes you laugh at how these positions are set up. But if you're going to have centers right now playing at the level that they're playing, dominating at the level they're dominating, I mean, people will probably say the guys having the 2 best seasons this year, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, what position do they play? They're both centers. If Jokic is already going to be the center, you need two forwards. Wiggins is going to be that guy. And for me, I was able to make that decision very quickly and easily without even blinking, because it's like, that's the way it should be anyway. We don't need to have 2-3 centers, you know, in the starting lineup. We don't need to have anything weird like that. Gobert's gonna get his opportunity to play regardless. So here we go.
Man, I'm glad I had you on for this podcast. It's a good discussion because I'm going the complete opposite way. Who is Milwaukee's starting center?
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, you know, you put the best players out there, especially in an all-star game. I'd like it to be the exact same option every team has during the season. You want to start 5 centers, you're allowed to. You want to start 5 point guards, you're allowed to. And, of course, nobody's going to choose to do that. But I think that could be fun in an all-star game. It's about if we're going to play the game itself, you know, make this possibility. It can be fun to have these weird lineups out there. What position is Nikola Jokic? Is he the Nuggets starting center or is he their starting point guard? Don't know. Doesn't matter. He's a really good player, and that matters to me.
He has a great skill set, but he's 7 feet, so he's there.
Okay. You put him out there in the All-Star game and make him the point guard because Joel Embiid is out there in the court with him, and Joel Embiid is going to be the starting center. And I think that's a fun dynamic to see how the teams would handle those weird matchups. And you get the best players in the game. You wouldn't have to pigeonhole one extra West front court player in there to give Andrew Wiggins a spot. I know we're picking on Andrew Wiggins a lot. I don't mean to, but that exposes, I think, some flaws.
I'm with you, Wiggs.
It's just me picking on Andrew Wiggins. But no, I'd like to go no positions in terms of how they pick the starters. I mean, the DeMar DeRozan thing was so weird. He is clearly a forward for the Bulls.
He really is.
Yes. But he gets a... So why does he get to be in the starting lineup? And that's not how we do positions now anyway, right? It's basically you got your point guard, you got your wings, and then you maybe have a big forward, maybe you have an additional wing, and then you have your center. So the lineup, the two guards, the two forwards and centers, doesn't even match how most teams do positions now. Anyway, I'd like to go no positions in the starters, no positions in the reserves. And what I'd really, really love to do is no, especially if we're keeping the draft. I could get back to East versus West with you, but if we're going to keep the draft, I don't want it to be limited by conferences, right? Just give me however many players we're naming. I'd like it to be 26 or 30.
If you're going to eliminate, you know, the conferences when it comes to the game, just eliminate the conferences when it comes to who gets to make it. I mean, I agree with you on that, and I realize they do that to try to appease a lot of the owners.
Right.
But
is this the moment? Is this the moment to fix it where the East and West kind of look similar? Like the East is having a really strong year.
I feel like a lot of these fixes that the league has done, you know, from eliminating center to changing East West, they're reactionary.
Yes.
Things that eventually are going to shift, you know?
Yes. And that's why we're doing this podcast, is because the way the All-Star game was put together was in such haphazard ways over the years. You end up with this incredibly weird system, very ripe for fixes.
Yeah. And that's sort of why, like, when they eliminated the center position, had three forwards, I was like, this is not good. I mean, because I mean, there was a stretch where there was like Jamal McGlure making it, whatever. Like, you're like, oh, gosh, okay, I guess we got to have a big, so here you go. But I think that, you know, now we're at a stage where the center position is changing by the year, but you also see these dominant players that are just having a huge impact. And you know, and if they weren't as good as they were or weren't as popular as they were, they could be missing out. Like, Rudy Gobert is a phenomenal player, and he's having a great season again. He's probably the best defensive player, he's defensive player of the year however many times. But he's not popular. He plays for the Utah Jazz, so he's not going to be voted in, you know, because fans don't care to see, you know, a big dude blocking shots in the All-Star game. They want to see dudes dunking and shooting threes. So he misses out in that respect. But it's just sort of the way it is. But I think that if you at least make it where the choice is between him and Jokic, maybe he has a shot. But if it's a choice between him and LeBron, well, bye. And now the choice is with Andrew Wiggins, and he's losing to him. So
yeah, but he still makes it. I don't think in the long run people care who starts, who comes off the bench.
Yeah,
they care whether you're an all-star.
I don't think that the players necessarily care that much either, unless there's like a clause in their contract that'll get paid money.
Right.
So do you have are all your fixes related to the setup, or do you have any fixes to the actual game itself?
I really got nothing for the game itself, so I just want to finish up on the setup. You got something for the game itself?
I got a couple things.
Okay, all right, cool. So I want to get rid of positions. I want to get rid of conferences. This maybe is the moment to to have Eastern Conference owners vote for, because maybe they think they might come ahead and come out ahead in the long run. Maybe at minimum, maybe we could do injury replacements. Don't have to be from the same conference, because if it just happens to be that all four injured players are from the East, now we're in our fourth choice in the East, which wouldn't be that bad this year, right? This year there were like six guys who are like equal from 10 to 16 in the pecking order. So it works out okay. But there could be years where you're really, really stretching. I feel like who has not made the game yet? Jaylen Brown hasn't made the game yet. Drew Holiday hasn't made the game yet. I think those are better choices.
Pascal Siakam, man.
Siakam, too. Better choices than DeJounte Murray, all three of them. And, you know, Murray is an okay choice, but I would have rather had an extra East player in there this year, even though the injury that the Draymond Green's injury that DeJounte Murray got in was from the West. And so I feel like owners could say, look, any year the injuries could go either way. Let's give Adam Silver the discretion. But how about even one step further? It's such a weird process. All right, so the starters are chosen by 50% fan vote, 25% media vote, 25% player vote. The reserves are picked by the coaches within the conference, and the injury replacements are picked by the commissioner. We have all these different delegations. How about, especially if we're just doing a draft, and it doesn't matter who's starting, who's coming off the bench, how about we just come up with one big formula where all those voices get a vote? Maybe not the commissioner, but still the coaches get a vote, still players, still fans, still media. Everybody gets a vote. And then you just put it all together to say, all right, here are the top 12 players, 13 players, 15 players, if we're listening to all my suggestions in the conference.
Oh, so you're saying just combine the coaches' vote with...
Right.
Oh, and then you just have the top 12 results. Yeah,
exactly.
And then and then you just pick from there. I think it makes it easier in that case for Adam Silver. I mean, I know he does it off the results from the fan media and player poll, but I think you're right. I agree with you. I think that'd be a good idea to put the coaches in there too, and see where they vote, and just but of course give them their anonymity in that regard.
Yes, and that gets to one other change I want to make. Do you vote? Do you have a vote for All-Star starters?
I have never. Well, I haven't voted since I started working at the Post in 2004. We have a policy where we cover the news. We don't make the news.
Yes.
We don't get involved with Hall of Fame votes, All-Star votes, All NBA, any of that stuff. So we stay out of that. And then when I worked at Yahoo. We had the same policy that we weren't going to be involved with that because it puts you in a tough spot. You know,
yes.
I remember that when I worked in Atlanta and I covered the Hawks back then. And whenever it came time to vote, I would have agents just calling me, you know, saying, you know, my guy, you need to vote for my guy. Just look at the numbers and da 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 da. And you got all these people who are like angling. And who knows what's going on, you know, behind the scenes to get a lot of these votes done. And so it made it easier for me whenever, you know, somebody's like, hey, you got to vote for All-Star or you got to vote for whatever. And I'm like, no. it probably means I don't have as many conversations with agents. but I think it does let the agent know that what my agenda is, is to just write what I see. And I can't be influenced in that. So that I think it's a good thing.
So I don't know if you're going to like this idea or not. I think absolutely the media votes should be revealed. If you're going to vote, if you're going to choose to vote, and I understand the complications that come with that, but I think media should stand for transparency and openness. If we ask others to do the same, the media votes should be revealed.
I like it when it comes to All NBA. I prefer the anonymity of it. Because I think that, you know, if we're going to expose media, let's expose the players too.
Because I'd be in favor of that, but
I know that they may not participate if you know who's voting for what, but I also feel that, you know, a lot of journalists do put a lot of work into making sure they get it right. You know, they call coaches, they call scouts, they call people around the league. And they try to make sure that their choices that they make are made, you know, not just from what they think they see or what they think they hear, but actually, you know, getting the information from people who are around the game, watch the game, see what's happening. And I think that most of my colleagues go about it doing it the right way. Some people are blinded by, you know, the team they cover or whatever, and so there's biases there. But I think for the most part, most media members take take this responsibility. They don't take it lightly, and they want to make sure they get it right. And so I don't know. I think that should be enough than to have them have it listed like how they vote. Because again, in that sense, in a lot of ways, you wind up becoming the story when that's not necessarily what you want to be. Because I go back to one of my friends in business, Gary Washburn, back in 2013, when I think LeBron was going to win the unanimous MVP,
and right.
he missed it by one vote, and so Gary was the one guy who didn't vote for LeBron; he voted for Carmelo, and he explained it, and I sort of understood where he was coming from. He didn't realize that he'd be the only guy to do it, but all of a sudden he becomes a story, and people think that he's anti-LeBron when really he was just saying Carmelo just led this team to his first division championship in, 19 years or something, which was a huge accomplishment for the Knicks. And obviously LeBron had, an incredible season, like his best season, in my opinion. But I could understand the justification for that vote. And Gary's a sincere guy. He made the decision not because of one way thing or another. He measured everybody, looked at what Carmelo, his value was, not having another, all-star teammate, what he was able to do with that group and winning the, and I could understand the thought process there without him even explaining it to me. And I think that a lot of times when you have a situation where you might be the one oddball reporter out there who's gone against the grain, people sometimes try to shame you. And I don't necessarily agree with that.
I thought Gary's vote for Carmelo was bonkers, but I appreciated so much him explaining it. Knowing him, I have no doubt that it was legitimately who he thought deserved MVP. That's fine. We don't have to agree on who wins NBA MVP. It's not that important. I think he went about it completely the right way, and I'm glad it was out there, and I'm glad there was a transparency, and people coming at him, is not great, but I do think the media, for what we should stand for, owes it to people to be transparent, which he was, right? I can't. And that was before the votes were public. Like, he could have just hidden. He didn't have to come out.
He could have stayed in the dark for the rest of his career and nobody would have known.
Right. And so I think he handled the right way. And I think just by rule, those should come out. All right. So I think we've covered the process of how we're picking All-Stars. I kind of like how the game mostly is now, but I think you've got some tweaks. What do you think for once the game actually gets going?
I'll say this again. I do everything based on the fact that I wish we could go back to the old way. But what we have now, the Elam ending is fine. Donating the money to charity is fine. And so I'm okay with that. If this is how it's going to be set up, I'm not going to raise a ruckus. I don't necessarily think that these changes were necessary. I just think that what needed to change was the attitude of the star players. That needed to be the first thing to change when it came to All-Star. This is not something that's meant to be punishment. This is a reward for being a great player. We're giving you a chance to showcase your talents to the world. And I think that, I guess for me growing up, that's how I looked at All-Star. Like, this is a great moment, and now it's a burden. But anyway, so let's get to the game itself. I think that one thing that can help with the competition that the players don't really care, the issue with the effort in a lot of these games, is that they don't really care. Let's just go crazy. Let's do silly stuff, because the game itself is ridiculous and silly anyway. So let's do some silly stuff. Instead of, giving the money to the winning team, giving the money to the winning team, how about we provide financial incentives for certain plays?
Ooh.
Like, I don't know what the numbers will be, but let's say you get paid or you get to get money donated to charity if you block a shot.
Ooh.
If you take a charge.
Ooh. Okay. See, I thought you could come in with, if you dunk, if you shoot a half-court shot.
I'm going to get that too.
Oh, but no, these are better. These are better.
This is what I'm starting out with. If you get a steal. So if you get these things, you get money to donate to the charity of your choice. And based on if you get a block and a charge or a block and a steal, the money increases based on however much you've done.
Ooh.
So now you got guys who are incentivized to play defense in a game that people say they don't play defense. They don't care. So provide incentives for those kind of plays. And then also, I say the last 2 minutes of each half You have four pointers.
Ooh.
Where you have a 4-point line. I mean, this is just, we're just having fun now.
They can do this.
So you have a 4-point line. And then, you know, if you're down 10 or whatever, you know, getting close to the end of half, you just have Steph Curry just start launching from half court. And you get a 4-pointer. Or Damian Lillard or whoever else is in the game and going forward in the future. So now you just got guys just having fun. So, you know, you incentivize them to play defense. And then you just do a bunch of silly things throughout the course of the game. Because it's a meaningless game to begin with. There's no stakes really, you know, other than like donate money to charity. But if you're going to do this and you're just going to have a game that is just about fun and not it's about, you know, frivolity, then just be frivolous. Let's just do silly things and just have fun with it. But also know that these incentives are coming to increase the quality of the game. Because if guys know that if I'm out here blocking shots and getting steals and I'm raising money for my charity, then all of a sudden you got the All-Star Game MVP award, you know, for the guy who has the best game. But then you got the guy who gets the most money, raise money for charity because he played D.
I love it. I think they should do it. I never even considered anything like this. I think that is fantastic. I love it. That would improve the level of play in an entertaining way. Because in a normal game, I'd say, there's some wrong incentives there. Because guys are going to gamble for steals. They're going to gamble for blocks. They're going to get out of position defensively. They're going to try and block a shot and not be there for the rebound. An All-Star game, that's good, right? You want somebody to take a gamble, try for the exciting play. If they don't get it, it allows the offense to make an exciting play, right? You want those stakes. That's exactly how you want the All-Star game to be.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is that if you're getting these steals and you're getting these blocks, on the other end, the guy's going to get breakaway dunks.
Yep.
So you're getting the show even with the D. You know, and I think the thing that has been frustrating for fans of the All-Star game and fans of the NBA for years when it came to this game is that the effort was so half-tailed that, you know, guys were just driving down the lane and, you know, it's like, okay, you've already had 10 dunks. All right, enough already. Like, somebody going to step up and, like, try to at least contest it? Like, do you have any pride, fellas? Like, I know you want to be safe and no one gets hurt. No, that's good. And nobody wants to get hurt. But you can still compete, you know, without, like, you know, just being all reckless, you know, Ron Artest clotheslining people or whatever. Like, you can still go out there and play hard without, you know, putting your body at risk, I think.
You have anything else for the game itself? I mean, you've blown me away. I love that.
That was the one that stood out. Those are the ones. I was just thinking of just, you know, having incentives for certain defensive plays and then just ending the half with just, it's kind of some sort of silliness, you know, because I honestly feel like the way things are set up now, it's fine. It's okay. It'll keep people watching and it'll make sure you stick around to the end with the whole Elam ending because people want to see if you can come back and close the gap or whatever. So there's a little intrigue with that. So that's okay. I mean, I wasn't in favor of it when it first happened the first year. It turned out pretty well. The last year was pretty good too. So it's okay if that's how they want to play it, but I think there are ways you can do it and just really just go crazy with it and try to give the fans a really good show. Because I think now, especially when you have guys who have half court range and guys who pull up from the logo, I mean, Trae Young, you know, he's going to like go crazy if they have a 4-point shot, and so even a Luka would too. So I just think it'd be fun if you just add different things to the game and just do just crazy, stupid stuff because people want to be entertained and you have an opportunity to do it.
And maybe we'll even like the 4-point line so much we'll want to put in the regular season. I came all the way around on the Elam ending. I want that in every game now. I love it. I think it works. I want to say, I'm serious. Regular season playoffs, I love it. And maybe I'd feel the same way about a 4-point play. I know I don't right now, but if I saw it in the All-Star game in the final minutes of the half, yeah, maybe I'd change my mind.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
We've talked a long time. We haven't mentioned the dunk contest yet, which everybody goes back and forth between loving and hating. It seems like we could do something better, and here is my one solution for the dunk contest. Do you know how dunk contest dunks are judged? It sounds so stupid when you say it out loud. They're judged on a 6 to 10 scale. It's so stupid. And the problem is, somebody will see a really cool dunk, one of the judges, and give it a 10. Well, then there's a better dunk after that. So what do? And you're stuck giving too many 10s, and basically it comes down to whatever judge refused to give a 10 for a while, but maybe he was too stubborn or she was too stubborn to give a 10. Initially, the judging is what screwed up. And so here's the simple solution. However you want to do this, there are a million ways you could do it. The dunks need to be judged relative to each other. You don't watch a dunk and then score it. You watch two dunks or all the dunks in a round or however you want to do it and say, this one was better than that one was better than that one was better than that one. And then the players win or advance or, again, however. But the dunks need to be judged relative to each other.
I think it's tough because, you know, in the moment, you know, you get kind of blown away by different dunks. And I think that, you know, through the history of the dunk contest, there's always been, you know, it basically comes down to the judges, you know, and like, are they willing to give up 10s? You know, will there be a Dr. J there sitting there just eating on dudes? Like, I dunk from the free throw line and that ain't it, partner. Like, it's an 8, you know, like that's as good as you're going to get. So I think that a lot of it, you know, it just comes down to like what happens in the moment and how we're moved. You know, I think that if you move to a 10 and give them a 10, like it's tough to.
But then what if somebody does a better dunk after that?
Give them a 10. You know, the thing is that you see these dunks in this moment and you're like, wow, this is incredible. So get caught up in it. Get caught up in the emotion of it and hand out the 10 if that's what you see. And if you don't see the 10, then don't hand it out, you know.
But not all 10s are the same.
I know that, yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah. No, I mean, isn't Aaron Gordon Mr. 50, right? You know, never won a dunk contest, but has like the record for most 50s or something crazy like that. I mean, not that he probably should have won one of those dunk contests, but that's another discussion.
Yeah, he came out ahead. He's much better off people talking about him like this. Man, he should have won one. He
that's
gets
true.
More
that's
credit
true.
For that
that's
than
true.
If he
won. He goes on a legend in that regard. Yeah. And I still think he got robbed the last time. He should have won that one. But Levine, I'm gonna give it up. That was a classic one, and I give props for putting on the show that year. But I don't know. I think that the judging is not really the issue I have with the All-Star Slam Dunk Contest. Me is just. It's tough to be, the creativity is hard now because it feels like after, you know, 40 some odd years, we've seen almost every dunk. So when somebody does something new and exciting, it's really great. But if they do stuff that we've seen before, you're like, you know, so-and-so did that in 2013, you know, what the dunk contest really needs is a level of star power that, mm-hmm. that's lacking, and that's really what it comes down to. Because even if it's a dunk you've seen before, if it's delivered by someone that you haven't seen do that, that makes it special. And so, like, you know, MJ, you know, won in 88, you know, he had dunked from the free throw line before. And I still think not Dominique won that one, but the fact that it was MJ doing it, that leads to the iconic poster. That leads to all the images that stay with you, you know, generations later, because it was MJ. You know, nothing against, you know, any of the other guys that they were competing against during that time. But if they somehow wind up winning the slam dunk contest, we're not talking about them 30 years later. We forget about D. Brown. Like, we know he's the Reebok pump, but, I mean, I'm bringing him up. I didn't forget about him, but whatever. Most people don't know who he is, you know, that he won the slam dunk contest. So,
well, that's what's cool to me about the dunk contest is you have that mix. You have, at least used to have, the superstars who'd win it, and that was special. But you'd also
you don't have any superstars that you can knock off, you know?
Right. You need the mix of a D. Brown making a name for himself in the dunk contest. Yeah. You wouldn't remember D. Brown if it weren't for the dunk contest. Not that he didn't do anything else in the league, but he wouldn't be remembered the same way.
That's true. You're right.
Do you have a good way to get stars into the dunk contest? Players were so opposed to being forced to. Like, in the collective bargaining agreement, the dunk contest is mentioned different than the other All-Star Saturday night stuff. The other events, the league can require you to participate. The league cannot. By the CBA, they negotiate this in. They can't require players to be in the dunk contest. Do you have a good way to incentivize them? Or is this just wishing and hoping that stars wanted to do it more?
Yeah, you got to make it cool again. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
But you got to make it something the guys want to do. I think once LeBron was like, he'll never do it, I think guys were like, well, if he ain't going to do it, why do I need to do it?
You know? Yep.
And then you look at some of the guys who won the title, and you're like, okay, well, I guess it's not that prestigious an honor to be the slam dunk champion. and I know a lot of guys don't want to necessarily be pigeonholed or viewed as just dunkers. You know, they want to be seen as complete basketball players. So in some ways it can diminish you, but I always go back to, you know, like the 2011 slam dunk contest, or the 2011 slam dunk contest is one Blake Griffin won. It was a robbery, okay? Because he wasn't even, I don't think he was the third best dunker. He may have been third.
Was this the one with JaVale?
This is the one with JaVale McGee.
Oh, yeah, it's so much better.
JaVale McGee's dunks were like the most incredible dunks I've seen anybody pull off.
Yeah.
And he did like a historic number of dunks, like, and lost to a guy who jumped over a car, barely kind of sort of jumped over a car.
They couldn't eliminate Blake before they brought the car out.
Yeah, they had the car. They had it all set up so it looked rigged. And I remember I was covering the Wizards at the time. And afterward, you know, I asked JaVale, I was like, man, I said, is there anything you think you could have done differently to win this? And he was like, jump over a plane? And he said it as a joke, but I honestly think after what he pulled off in that he probably could have jumped over a plane with the stuff he was pulling off. But, you know, I think that when you had, like, DeMar DeRozan had, I think he had probably one of the top two or three dunks in the entire competition in that. Go back and look at that dunk contest. DeMar DeRozan had brought some funk for that competition, and he just got just the lowest scores. And so I think – He never went back to another dunk competition. And I think one of the reasons why he just felt it was sort of rigged, it was sort of set up for Blake to win it because they just wanted to promote him and make him a star. But I think if there is some level of star making, star creating that comes from winning the slam dunk contest, if you're guaranteed, you know, a commercial from your shoe, you know, company, like something to. Like, I think,
well, the big stars already have commercials, right?
Yeah, but they don't. You don't see commercials like you used to see them, right?
We all fought fast forward on our Comcast remotes. We don't see commercials at all.
But I think if you can sort of get, you know, the shoe companies on board with it, if you get the shoe companies on board to where they can promote their product and their clients, you know, in these competitions, you know, sort of give them the incentive of saying, okay, we will build a campaign around your dunk contest win. And I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that as a league, but I do feel like if the shoe companies got involved, if Nike got involved, and you know, if you win a slam dunk contest, you know, we'll do a commercial that sort of features you, what you've done, or you're guaranteed a signature shoe, not necessarily a signature shoe, but just like a player edition shoe, you know, not the signature shoe, but it's up, like you get a player edition shoe that'll be promoted, you know, after the game. You know, I think that those are things that, you know, that could be done to sort of get maybe not the established stars in it, but some of the up and comers, you know, in there. You know, like, it would be great if you say got like John Morant in there, like if Nike could somehow like coerce him to do it. But I honestly think you need to either have some sort of financial incentive from the shoe companies, to say, okay, if you win a slam dunk contest, you know, you can earn this much money. And I think if you do that, then you might get some of the top players involved.
Do you have anything else for All-Star Saturday night? I mean, to me, the skills challenge is always kind of blah. I'm interested to see how it works with these, you know, teams. I know when they did teams for the dunk contest, it was a disaster. Like, who cares what team wants? That might have been the worst dunk contest ever. At least these teams for the skills challenge, number one, you're fixing an event that stinks, unlike the dunk contest, which can be very good. And these teams, like, make some sense. You got the Antetokounmpo brothers, and you got the Cavaliers players. Like, they're together. The dunk contest teams were just like, hey, here's a few guys on one team, here's a few guys on another team. Is there anything else for All-Star Saturday night that you want to change?
No, I think they've done it right by making a three-point contest the marquee event, because that is the dunk of this generation. It's the shot that moves the crowd. It's what everybody wants to see.
Wait, you think the three-point contest has become the marquee event?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's still the dunk contest.
I don't, because the three-point contest is getting stars.
That's true.
The best players are in it. And again, you care because of who's in it, not because of what it is. You know, if you got really elite all-star players competing against each other, if you got Steph, I mean, he doesn't have to do it anymore, but if Steph Curry is in the three-point competition and he's put on this thrilling show with Joe Harris or whatever, you want to watch. Like, oh, man, look at these dudes. Oh, man, they're hitting these shots. And that is fun. That's entertaining. I think the three-point shot has surpassed the dunk contest as the marquee event. It's the one people care about because of who's in the competition. I mean, look at it now. What competition is Zach LaVine choosing to participate in?
True.
I mean, he's mainly because he wants to show everybody he's more than a dunker. You know, obviously, the dunk contest, you know, helped him make a name for himself, and he's worked hard on his game. He's become an all-star caliber talent now, but he's not dunking anymore. He's three-point contesting it, you know, because he wants to show that he can do that, and people want to watch Zach LaVine. And so I think that's sort of where we are now, and I don't have an issue with that, because I think that the game has progressed to the point where you know, the interest in the three-point shot, you know, that's higher than it's ever been. And that is the defining shot of this era. So
sure.
make it the marquee event. Because, even if you didn't, it's going to be that because of who's choosing to compete in it.
The other reason it can be the marquee event is because it's so well designed. You know, I got nothing to change for it. It flows perfectly, and it's easier to do with a three-point contest. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm not thinking about that. I was just thinking about, you know, the All-Star game. And so you could, you know, I was talking about the 4-point shot. Like you could do something like in the where you have like a rack, like you have a special All-Star ball where the shots are worth more.
Well, they do that now, right? They do the longer shots.
Yeah, they do that in 3-point contests. I'm saying have that 3-point shot ball in the All-Star game. What a shot's worth more.
Oh, like when it comes out, the final minutes, the ball changes too?
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Yeah, I like that. The other change I'd make, going back to Sunday, Saturday, now to Friday, when they have the Rising Stars game, I want it to be only rookies. Get rid of the sophomores. And this is not the right year to make the case because the schedule's been so interrupted. There's been so much going on. But I see LaMelo Ball all the time. He's really fun to watch. But I see him all the time. He's a starter on his NBA team now. He's an all-star. He's filling a prominent role. I want to see more rookies. I want to see Jonathan Kuminga. I don't get to see him enough. Ooh, I don't know what it's tantalizing when I see him. So make it all rookies. And if you do that, I don't really care how you split up the teams. But my number one idea, it should be the top 10 draft picks versus the next 10 best rookies. And so, yeah, if you're a bust, you're still going to make it because you haven't proven to be a bust just a few months into your rookie year. This could be your chance. And then you get like those older vet rookies who come from Europe or were playing in the minor leagues or whatever. They're going to be on the rest team. Anybody who's exceeding expectations on the rest team. You don't tell me the guys drafted outside the top 10 aren't going to be licking their chops to play the top 10 picks. All rookies, top 10 versus the next best players. The top 10 draft picks versus the next best players. What do you think?
I don't want to see that. I want to see rookie sophomore again.
The sophomores just crush them every time. They're too good. The difference between first and second year players in the NBA is just too great.
Yeah, but for some reason, I feel like those games have always been when it was in that format, it felt better to me. I enjoy watching those competitions.
You remember it was originally all rookies, and they switched to that. But by 2001, your magical year, it was rookie sophomore.
I'm telling you, man, go back to 2001, dude. I'm I mean, if you have a Super Bowl halftime show, you know, from 2001, let's just go all the way back and have a game from that era too. So, I think that I'm in favor of the rookie sophomore situation, because I mean, maybe you do it where you have you know, you can mix the talent up again like you have in the past, but
like East West rookies and sophomores.
I like rookie sophomores. I like that matchup. But if not, you can mix it up like you do now with the team
tournament. I mean, they're doing that this year with the draft, the 4-team tournament. I'm kind of open minded on that. That could be cool. What do you think about?
When I first saw it, I was like, man, the NBA keeps tinkering. Stop tinkering. Let's let the game happen the way it was. But then I realized there aren't enough international players,
right,
USA versus the world now. So you got to figure that out. But then also, there's an opportunity for the league to promote the G League as an alternative to the NCAA. So it's a business thing situation now. That's how I look at it. Like, one, you don't have enough international prospects. And two, you have an opportunity to promote your product to the world on that All-Star weekend. So you having the G League Ignite guys competing in the Rising Star game. So if you're a elite high school talent, and you're thinking about where am I going to wind up playing the next level, you're like, oh, snap, I can play in that game against the guys who are currently in the NBA, show everybody what I can do against them. That could elevate my stock, because people are going to remember that I balled out, mm-hmm, against, whoever, is going to be in that game. So I think the format is fine, considering the circumstances. But I also think it's a good marketing deal for the NBA to promote what's happening with the G League Ignite.
So yeah, so my version, I'll put the Ignite guys on that team competing against the top 10 picks. You can throw them in there too, and so they're fired up. So we can maybe compromise on that. Is there any other All-Star changes you want to bring up?
No, I think that the league has done a lot in terms of giving guys their space and their time to kind of, relax, during that period, because I remember they come back and play like on like the Tuesday after after the All-Star game. It was like, that's just mean, like you had these guys do all these things, that weekend, and then they got to go back to their season right after that. So I think they're just giving them the break, an actual break, and letting them sort of get refocused for either a postseason chase or a draft pick chase. I think that I think it's set up just fine.
I got one more.
Okay.
Warm locations only. Why is the All-Star game in Cleveland?
Oh my God!
In Chicago?
Yes.
Coming up in Salt Lake City. We've been in Indianapolis the year before. And I originally thought, like, oh, this is like media complaining. I didn't want to bring it up. But there are a lot of people who go to All-Star break too for like the parties, the enjoyment, the experience, for to go to the game or not. Let everybody go to a warm weather city. I live in Detroit. I love Detroit. I'm defensive Detroit. I like it when people bash Detroit. February is not the right time to show off a city like this.
Yeah. A few years ago, I did a piece on All-Star, on some fixes to the All-Star. And one thing that I suggested that I think that probably should happen is, I mentioned the war. I one thing I said was just rotate the warm climates. I agree with you on that. Because I think about the NFL, they get it right with the Super Bowl because it's always going to be in a warm weather city in the destination people want to go to. So I'm totally with you on that. Like, there's no need to just have this game in Salt Lake City and all this play in February. Like, let's go to LA, let's go to Miami, let's go to Texas. Let's we got some cool cities in warm weather. Let's just take advantage of that and just use those arenas and just hope that the city can handle it. I mean, New Orleans is great for hosting, these type of events. So that was one of the things I suggested, was just make sure, you just rotate from LA, Houston, New Orleans, Phoenix, Orlando, and Miami, and just keep it growing, keep it going. Because I remember they had it in Dallas and it snowed. But
well, if that happens in Dallas, I feel like you can take a chance with Dallas.
Yeah. But yeah, so I agree with you. But there is one thing I forgot that wears one chain that I think would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You have a player or players who believe they got snubbed with a chance to vie for the last All-Star spot. It'll create 13 active players.
Oh, that's how you get the last spot? So how do they vie for it?
Well, so what you do is like anybody who's snubbed gets a chance to go to wherever the All-Star City is and just play a round robin tournament.
One-on-one?
A one-on-one tournament. Where, you know, say like the whoever feels like he got snubbed and like had a legit case or whatever.
Well, there's gotta be a line somewhere.
Say you got three snubs.
Okay.
You got three snubs who wind up going to the city.
You can't let Patrick Beverley be like, I should have been an All-Star. Yeah, up and I'm crashing to your knees in this game one on one.
It's gotta be somebody who wound up among the three, you know, leftover spots.
Okay.
You know, however the numbers show up and the top players, whoever, you know, didn't make it off of that, you know, you take three or four guys, you take them, and they have a King of the Hill contest for the 13th roster spot.
I like that. That'd be fun.
And you watch it.
Yeah, but
you have it on All-Star Saturday night.
But some of those guys are going to have to go to Cleveland. Or wherever, if it's in a warm weather city, maybe they'd be okay with it. You're going to have to go there and not even be an All-Star. Some of them.
Yeah, but you also get
a tough sell.
But you do get to experience All-Star weekend, and you become a participant in either the Friday night. You could better yet, do that instead of the stupid celebrity game. Like, just that nobody cares about. Have that on Friday night, and if you get eliminated that Friday, did you just go home or go to Cancun, wherever you want to go? And the guy who's left gets to show up, go to practice on Saturday, and get the experience the whole weekend.
All right, let's combine it. Let's combine the celebrity game in this. You get two guys. And so one guy has one celebrity team, one guy has the other celebrity team. And you have two guys playing for real in the middle of the celebrity game. And the celebrity team winner, that NBA player gets to go.
Nah, I don't want to touch that celebrity game. Please leave it alone. I don't want to touch it.
All right, now I think if we've gotten to the celebrity game, we have covered every topic around All-Star. We have completely fixed it thoroughly from top to bottom, from Friday night to Saturday to Sunday. Michael, thanks a ton for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. It's fun.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.